tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans!
Oh, hey!
Hey, everyone.
It's so good to be back. We are so excited to talk about season three that we couldn't wait for the season premiere. So, guys, we are doing a season two recap.
And we're back in town.
We are back in town. We got the band
boys
back.
The boys and the girls.
You know it.
We both got the back. Team back together again. It's so great. Before we get started, guys, let me introduce my fantastic panel, Jesse Klein.
Hi, everyone. How's it going? You can find me at JessKlein1 on Twitter.
Zach Wilson.
You guys can... thank you. I'm so excited. I can't even contain myself. You can find me on Twitter at ThatZachWilson.
So many feels. Hey, guys, I'm Joyce, and you can find me on Twitter at JAzuri.
And I'm your host, Megan Salinas. Guys, you can tweet at me at TheMenguin. That's THEMEN. MENGUIN. New studio. I'm still getting adjusted to it.
Yeah, it's our first night in the new studio.
Our first night in the new studio, and I feel like it's very fitting going ahead and like recapping where we've been before we move on to where we're going.
I feel like this is what we're gonna feel like when we get the. I'm assuming we're gonna get a new bus.
That's true. We do need a new one. Before we get the ball rolling, guys, on going over season two highlights and everything like that, we want to talk to you guys really quick about ABC's Quantico. Sunday, September 27th is the season premiere of ABC's highly anticipated new drama, Quantico. Quantico is where the FBI trains their top recruits. Over 100,000 young people apply and only 1,200 get in. They are the smartest, strongest, and have the best skills. Now they must live and train together under one roof. But everything changes when a massive terrorist attack strikes America. The FBI discovers its greatest fear, that one of their top Quantico recruits is a terrorist. Spoiler alert, my prediction is that it's Grant Ward. Just saying.
Crossover special.
It's that guy with the shirt that says terrorist.
It's the guy walking around with Hydra. Which one is behind it and became a traitor? It's an edge of your seat drama with twist after twist after twist. Priyanka Chopra stars in one of television's top new shows this fall. Don't miss the series premiere of Quantico, Sunday, September 7th or 27th at 10/9 Central on ABC. Actually, that does sound, again, as a fan of S.H.I.E.L.D. and espionage stuff, it sounds like a lot of fun.
I like a good spy thriller.
It's like right up our alley.
Yeah,
but who needs the FBI? We've got international things to take care of.
Yeah, we've got S.H.I.E.L.D.
Everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked.
That would be an even bigger twist than if Grant Ward was the traitor.
Yeah, Jesse and I are just like polishing our badges. We're like...
Yeah, you guys are wearing, everybody kind of came decked out in regular S.H.I.E.L.D. gear tonight.
I'm going to show my official lanyard, thanks to Loot Crate.
Nice.
No, I feel so
directly
official.
From Mr. Koenig?
Directly from Mr. Koenig, exactly. Took my picture and everything.
Which one?
Billy.
Okay. Yeah.
Which...
One of the 13.
Again, one of my favorite, just kind of little small things in season two was that little post-it note that said, "Call your sister."
I know.
What is that about?
I want to meet the Koenig sisters so bad. I hope it's Patton Oswalt and Drag.
I was going to say,
That'd be the best twist.
For those of you guys actually watching us live, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVShield. So if you guys want to give your season two highlights as well, feel free to go ahead and tweet at us.
Yeah, and you can join us. Don't forget, you can join us in the chat role. I'm keeping an eye on you guys that are here this week. But throughout the season, every week, you join us in there watching immediately after the West Coast airing.
Yeah, you guys are so awesome. Like, in the off season, we had so many people tweeting at us and, like, making sure we were, like, on point with all the new S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
stuff.
I gotta give a shout-out to Saul Perez,
Saul
who
Perez.
Sent us,
so
like,
many updates.
All super the updates.
I loved it.
Yeah. Quake having a new outfit. Everybody has to know. Yeah. It's the great.
Oh, the fistigons.
It's gorgeous.
I'm trying to hold off on all my comments until we start talking about season 3.
Yes. When we're going to go ahead and say right now that we're going to save season 3 talk until the very end of this episode. Because, guys, there are people out there who don't want to know anything about the upcoming season. Yeah. So this is your official spoiler alert for people who weren't as satisfied when we didn't give, I guess, enough of a spoiler.
Alert.
When we talked about Age of Ultron. I know some people were upset by that. So this is your official spoiler alert. If you don't want to know anything about anything that's been announced about season 3, and again, this is all stuff that's already out there, so it's not like we have an AfterBuzz TV exclusive. We're just talking about the news that we have, the limited information that we have. If you don't want to know anything about that, when we get to season 3 predictions, just, I guess, wait.
Yeah.
Mute your computer.
Tune out, and then tune back in.
Go make yourself a cup of tea, and then come on back.
Yeah. Cup of tea or a cup of Easy Mac?
Don't you do it.
From 2004, if you can remember Easy Mac.
Mac and cheese,
bring it back.
Did it. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. Guys, favorite moment from season 2?
Dang.
I think it might be when Bobby launches herself over the torture table.
So cool.
Or her like first like move when she just like when she pops out and the hair goes back like in the Hydra base.
No, that reveal. like that Black Widow type move.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet. Go ahead.
I really like the Sky not using her powers, but like showing off that one fight she had in the Hydra base where she was just like double tapping everyone, and, like, using a guy for a shield and then kicking him into another guy.
The one shot before Daredevil did it.
Yeah,
was that? I feel like that was like right around the same time.
That shot had some internal cuts that were really well done, but still like very similar to a Daredevil style. Yeah, it was really cool.
Well, I have two favorite parts. I'm sorry. Yeah. They're both fight scenes. First was when we saw Skye's, like, one-shot fight scene.
Yeah.
That's one of the coolest things on the show so far. And also May fighting herself in Agent 33.
Oh, yes.
One
that
was really cool. One of the best scenes in the season.
Going off of that, that was something that we kind of forget about until you rewatch the season. Yeah. Because
so true.
But it was so good, but it was just so long ago, and this season was so fast-paced that it was hard to keep up.
Yeah, well, one of the things, like, rewatching it that I thought was most impressive about season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was that they didn't waste there were no wasted episodes. There was a couple that, like the episode with, like, the little, like, Junior Legion of Evil.
Yeah.
That
episode, like, maybe you could have skipped it, but
that's still an implication with the relationship with Sky and her father.
Exactly.
Yeah, there weren't really any bottle episodes.
Yeah.
Like, there was never an episode that didn't have at least one theme that carried over.
That didn't drive the story forward. Yeah. And that's something I've noticed more and more on television now is network shows, because it's sort of we've realized that it's natural to have a 13-episode season is like the perfect amount of episodes for an arc.
Mm-hmm.
But the showrunners of S.H.I.E.L.D. realize that if you're going to have 22 episodes, just do 2 arcs. And that's what they did. They had the Obelisk arc with Hydra in the first half of the season, and then they seamlessly transitioned into a completely different arc with the Inhumans.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the excellent thing, is that during the hiatus, it was a long wait, but once we got back into it, it picked up right where it left off, and it didn't skip a beat, so that when you're watching it at home on Netflix, it, as you said, it feels seamless. It goes straight one into the other.
Yeah, and I think that's the big difference between season 1 and season 2.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Is that, like, in season 1, there were a lot of episodes that, like, you could just not watch.
The first 15?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And it wouldn't affect your viewing of the show.
Yeah.
And season 2, every single episode, like, we've been, like, all of us have been rewatching and, like, getting back into it. Like, every single episode, like sets up something, even if it's just as simple as like a theme with Skye's father or a theme about trust was so big in season two.
Man. Especially the latter half.
Yeah, and so like even about like just trusting Coulson, like just little things with May and like Mac and like all of them like you can see them that they have at least the arc planned out, that they have the big stuff planned out, where like shows before, like I was a big Lost fan. Like Lost had no idea where it was going, and they were just They were just writing like really interesting things, but they didn't know where their payoff was going to end. And it seemed a lot like the showrunners of the show like had a clear outline for the season.
Well, I think they benefit because on Lost, I remember I've read that they started out and they was just like hit the ground running. Like they just had no time to plan, and then it was like I think like 8 episodes in before they like somebody said stop.
Yeah.
And then they like went in, they're like, all right, let's start figuring this stuff out. But S.H.I.E.L.D. has the benefit of the fact that Kevin Feige has planned this all out for the next decade.
Yeah. And they basically just have like comic books. Like they just look at comic books.
They do. They have source material to draw from. That definitely helps. And in some cases, storyboards.
Yeah.
And character designs. So yeah, you mentioned it.
Oh, that's so brilliant.
You
I love that video.
You were the greatest fan I ever knew.
You were the greatest fan I ever knew.
I have not seen this before.
It's so hilarious. This? It's so funny.
You will be avenged. You will be avenged.
I love her so much. She's
the
best.
Why was that cut?
Robin Scherbatsky, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So that we can reenact the rest of it. I will summon the Avengers, and you shall be avenged.
Why was that cut?
Back to season two.
So going off of that, going off of Coulson, because let's go ahead and get started, because you said it before, the beginning of season two, that first arc is very different from the second arc that we get, and it kind of all hinges on Coulson's search for this city, for the lost city that we find, trying to figure out what the alien writing is, being compelled, not knowing whether or not this makes him dangerous, and the Tahiti program and what it's done to other people.
Yeah, well, in that part, I was much smaller. My name was Matt Lieberman.
That's true. We didn't get to hear any of your takes on those. You also sat in a completely different chair.
I sat in a different chair.
Had to take some control away from you.
Yeah. As I get bigger,
real lead came in and took over.
I left my cane over there going, this is the real Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel now.
I mean, my favorite part about that was how it was so tied into the movie universe. And, like, it was, like, so, like, you could see them working together. And it was like, oh, man, like, not only am I watching something that is part of the Marvel universe, like the comic books I've been reading since I was 10, but also it's tied into the movies that I like. I'm like, these guys really have an idea of something bigger than just a TV show that is connected, that is like based off of comic books, or like bigger than a thing that goes along with a movie. Like they've got such a huge plan. I really enjoyed that part, like just being like, oh man, things are affecting things that are not in the TV show.
It's such a good time to be a comic book fan right now. I mean, everything is just coming together. That's what makes this show to me so much better, because we have that to look forward to almost every year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we'll look forward to it next year. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite aspect of this plot, in addition to just kind of having this really interesting mystery, was that as it unraveled and we see other people are affected by the same thing that Coulson's been affected by, and then the actual journey to the city and kind of discovering what that means, is how much of the world was expanded by it. Because we did have Guardians of the Galaxy and everything like that, but to have that like brought into S.H.I.E.L.D. was just a delight, because for a lot of season one, I just kind of felt like S.H.I.E.L.D. was the thing that they kind of had shoved to the side. They're like, oh yeah, it's our little pet project. But by bringing in the Inhumans, I just felt like it really expanded everything. And yeah, it was already an aspect of the Marvel Universe and it's all tied together, but I don't feel like it's being shoved aside anymore when we have something like that.
You can't ignore it anymore. Like, it's not something, like we just said, it's tied into everything now. It's not something that can just be ignored by anyone who's watching the movies or anyone who's watching, you know, the show and just is into it in general.
Well, what's great is that they do it just the right way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because, like, you don't want the movies to feel like you have to have watched S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. Yeah.
But it still clearly affected it.
And you don't want S.H.I.E.L.D. to be you have to have watched the movies either. But they
Though it's more fair to
it
assume.
Is. Yeah. But they just rhyme with each other quite mm-hmm. well. Yeah, and a lot that I liked about that arc was again like the idea of trust. Like, we just got done with this Hydra thing, and like the idea of trust, and Coulson can't even trust himself at this point. And like seeing like the multiple levels, it was very much like a supernatural spy thriller, mm-hmm. which is when the show is at its best. I think that's what I like about it.
Yes,
so much double agenting.
Yeah,
yeah. There were tons of double agents this year, and in addition to Coulson not knowing if he's stable, then later on we find out that he had all these secrets going on, mm-hmm. and that makes even May question what he's doing and whether or not he's stable to lead.
Yeah.
And then let's go ahead and talk about the new kind of team members that we get, and the whole real S.H.I.E.L.D. thing.
New S.H.I.L.D.
Like faux S.H.I.E.L.D., whatever it was.
Spelled N-U with an umlaut. New S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Because I will be honest that I think the biggest, I don't want to say misstep, but the biggest missed opportunity of this entire season is killing off Lucy Lawless in the first episode.
That was
so upsetting, guys.
I agree.
I understand why they did it, and I'm really looking forward to seeing her in Ash versus the Evil Dead. It's going to be awesome. But I was so excited to see her in the show and to see how badass this character was. And then she's dead. And I know that was the intention, but it was still really frustrating.
Yeah, but it was also good to bring her back for the flashback part.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
To know more about
that was wonderful.
Where she came from in terms of S.H.I.E.L.D. and like how she helped everybody out and her relationship with everybody, what that meant.
Yeah, it was so, like, even rewatching when I watched that, the first part of the season, I forgot that she was a double agent.
Yeah, me too.
At the time. So you're almost, in the retrospect, you're like, oh, maybe it's okay.
Yeah.
But what's also funny is that she didn't bring Hunter in on it.
Yeah, but I think we established that Hunter, especially at the beginning, is like not the most trustworthy dude. Like, if he thought he could
flaky.
If he thought like he could get Coulson to like give him some money for like the information, he'd be like, you know, you got some double agents.
That's also very true.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably a good idea.
But I agree with what you were saying, Megan. I think in terms of like if there is a misstep in season two, it was a little bit of new S.H.I.E.L.D. For me, what I had an issue with is that I never really got the break off, the distinction of like why they never contacted Coulson to be like, let's work together.
Yeah.
Fury failed, so let's be a democracy this time.
They tried to answer that question, but it still didn't make sense.
It wasn't
to
a
me.
Satisfactory.
It wasn't satisfactory at all. It was like, oh, we just want to get details first. It's like, well, you go to the source, like you go to the direct
exactly.
person for those details.
And it was also kind of weird that they weren't in any sort of government contact, because the big part of this season was kind of turning Talbot from an enemy into kind of a reluctant, loose alliance.
Yeah, that was the weirdest part about it. It's like, so you're a clandestine, multinational spy organization with no government allegiances, who wants to run as a democracy.
Yeah.
What?
I think you need to go back through those steps.
Someone messed up something, like somebody missed a memo somewhere, need to reevaluate that business plan.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, I liked them. I liked everything that it brought.
If you ignore that one thing, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was really good, and it also kind of helped solidify the kind of xenophobia and like fear that these agencies have of superhumans, and it helped kind of solidify how the first arc really affected Coulson's standing in the community as well. Because they're like, you had alien blood in you. How do we know that you're not trying to set up for another invasion?
And
that kind of stuff.
Yeah. To be fair, if I worked for a clandestine organization that dealt with people who had superpowers on a regular basis, I don't know how I would feel if my organization was being run by a dead man.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
a former dead man.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd feel about that.
I mean, I think that's weirder than knowing that there are aliens on my planet itself. If I were in that organization, I'd be like, what is happening?
Wait, you died!
I've seen weird things, but this is the weirdest thing.
What the what? I feel like being brought back to life, like, is kind of like, to me at least, it feels like mild. Like, because he didn't come back with, like, superpowers. Like, if he came back and he was flying around, I'd be like, hold up. Let's revisit what's happening. But,
what,
like, in a world...
You know, I mean, to be fair, he was killed by a Norse god. Like if you're going to be like, and now he's back to life, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like, he was killed by the embodiment of mischief in Norse mythology.
Let's look at the events leading up to that exact moment.
When he was on a flying helicarrier.
That like, has cloaking abilities. Yeah,
but it's like, I almost called him a Dama. If Gonzalez, like, didn't trust anyone that had, like, abilities or, like, that had been brought back, like, from any kind of supernatural thing, does that mean that he doesn't trust the Avengers as well? Because, like, the Hulk has a lot more supernatural craziness going on than Coulson.
I think they talked about it and about how he didn't trust them.
Simmons and Fitz had a conversation about Bruce Banner and the Hulk, but not Gonzalez.
Yeah. Okay. I think the big problem, I suppose, he has with that is that, yes, they do good and they clearly have good intentions, but especially after Ultron, I remember Gonzalez making a very distinct comment about the importance of a democracy because Tony Stark had been given free reign to do whatever he wanted and Ultron happened.
Yeah.
So, but that's after Ultron happens.
Yeah.
They
and that's when he's like,
this...
I'm going to trust you, Coulson.
So,
you
but know. Yeah, he already had these preconceived notions before the world went to hell.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that was just kind of something that really solidified it for him. But he already felt that way anyway. I don't think he trusts necessarily anybody with powers in the same way that you don't necessarily trust anybody near you who has a gun.
Yeah.
Having a permit makes and sense. Experience helps, but at the same time, you don't necessarily
still
want to turn your back.
I mean, we're hitting on the Civil War themes. So
exactly.
Heavy,
and I think it's also
like,
just
yeah.
kind of, yeah, groundwork. For
yeah,
all that.
I think this is groundwork. I mean, I think they did a great job of this season setting up groundwork for the expanded Marvel Universe and like what's to come. Because this idea of registering people and like making sure that if you have a superpower, it's like a license to carry that kind of stuff. And also the Inhumans, like that's setting up for 5 years from now. Like they did a great job this season of still being its own independent show with like really interesting characters and interesting storylines, and at the same time setting groundwork for what's to come in like 5 or 8 years.
No, there's so much going
yeah.
on.
I mean,
in
just
this
bringing in Inhumans this early, I understand
huge.
For the show why it makes sense.
Yeah,
it's like to do it so far in advance of the movie they're gonna do.
Yeah,
it feels insane.
Well,
I'm sure they have a plan, but it feels nuts.
So for the MCU in general, it's
yeah.
just like it's too soon.
Well, I want Skye to be in the Inhumans movie. Is well, that wrong? I hope
oh,
that's not.
She
wrong.
Better be.
I want her in those movies too.
It's so difficult to have a TV actor in a movie. Like that's the thing. Is like I want these characters to be in the movies, but like just because of the unions and stuff like that, like it's just really difficult to have that transition.
Yeah, but it's at some point, I think.
They've
like,
got to pay it off somehow.
Yeah, and again, yeah. like the whole the unions merging, all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
When you get to Inhumans, and yeah. if this show is still on the air, especially in like 5 years, we're in like season 8 of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think you can bring Daisy into
Inhumans.
Here's a question. What do we call her now?
Actually, I have an answer for that. We do need to call her either Daisy or Quake. Probably Daisy because they
or
haven't
Sky.
Officially done it in the... Actually, in the writer's
no more
room...
Sky.
No more Sky.
In the writer's room, they have a Sky jar. Instead of a curse jar and instead funny. Of a pun jar, they have a Sky jar so that anytime anybody pitches a story and says Sky instead of Daisy, they have to put money in it. Yeah. The last time
but
I checked...
But they can swear as much as they want. Right?
So how much
Sky,
is in there?
God, yeah.
How much is in the jar?
The last time I checked, it was about $200.
Wow.
Damn. I wonder what the minimum is.
That's interesting because they released a book because they've been doing a S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book over this this year.
But it's completely separated, right?
It is not. It is. They took the characters from the show, put them into the Marvel Comics, the 616 universe.
Yeah.
And they've just been running around. But there was they did an issue with Quake and Hyde. Like very
oh,
and, it,
yeah.
and like
cool.
what happened in it was like it wasn't anything groundbreaking, but they like made this roundabout backwards reason because she flies a lot that her nickname is Sky and Coulson keeps calling her Sky. It was very weird.
No.
It was actually an issue.
Weird.
I was like, what's happening here?
It's
you
being
don't,
forced.
Don't do that. Her name's Daisy. Just, her name the show Daisy. One is Sky, great, but like...
Her name's Daisy.
And it's like, why is it still spelled with an E?
I kind of like the idea of calling her Quake from now on. Because it, I mean, it encompasses like who she still, like what her name used to be and like who she is now. I mean, she's always going to be known as Sky to us, but for the sake of like talking about her,
well,
I think
like,
Quake would be less confusing.
It's like mutants... mutants. Sorry, mutants.
Like, you can't say that.
How
Christy.
Dare you?
It's like mutants.
It's just like,
and it's like
the Inhumans.
And it's like whether you use your human name or your mutant name, and it, so like
well,
Quake
and,
is her Inhuman name.
Well, theoretically, you know, Sky was a name she picked for herself because she didn't have anything else to go on.
Yeah.
And then Daisy was her actual name. That was the name that she was given, and so using that kind of makes sense now that she knows who she is. Here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if she's going to choose Quake for herself or if somebody else is going to be like,
Quake.
You should call yourself Quake because I really like the idea of her choosing another identity.
Yeah. I feel like it'd be more aligned with her character to choose her own Inhuman name.
I think general rule episodes where she uses her powers to screw things up, we call her Quake. episodes where she doesn't, we call her Daisy.
Well, I guess the reason I asked the question, I'm more curious what the characters are going to call her.
Yeah.
Like, what is Mac going to call her? What is Fitz going to call her? What is Coulson going to call her?
I'm going to call her Daisy.
Probably. They'll probably go with Sky, and then she might correct them, sorry, it's going to take some getting used to.
It makes sense for them to address it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I feel like ultimately they'll call her Quake. I feel like everyone has, I mean, Fitz and Simmons gets called by the last name.
Fitzsimmons sometimes, too.
Fitzsimmons. I feel like a nickname is necessary. Just to keep along with it. And Quake is perfect.
And
she does, in this season, in the very last scene, refer to herself as Daisy. I know she's talking to brainwashed Cal, but she does refer to herself as Daisy, so maybe that's
the
setup.
She has the option of saying Daisy or Sky, and she chooses Daisy.
Daisy,
I think she's going to choose Quake. Although, if anybody could come up with a nickname, Mac's pretty good at nickname. I really was fond of him calling her Tremors. I thought that was adorable.
Tremors is cute. I have to say.
Tremors is a lot of
fun.
It
sounds like a pet name.
It does sound like it is a weird pet name.
There, Tremors.
It's one of my favorite Kevin Bacon movies. before we move on, guys, I just want to talk to you really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who has gone to iTunes to rate and subscribe. We cosplayed for you last season because of you guys. One of the reasons why we have a new studio is because of the support that every one of our AfterBuzz fans has given us. It really does mean a lot when you give us 5 stars and you say how much you like the show. That attracts sponsors and we're able to do things like get a new studio. This is all because of you guys and it really means the world to us. And sadly, because I'm looking at my phone, like the layout for like all of our comments is not the greatest, so we'll do a better job of reading them next time. But like, you guys say nothing but wonderful, wonderful things, and it really means the world to us. So please go to iTunes, rate, tell us what your favorite season 2 moment was and what you're most looking forward to season 3.
Yeah. We have the best fans. Why do you think we come back here every season?
It is. Yeah. It's true. Like,
you give us badges. You send us news articles. You give us fan art. It's so cool. Send more fan art, BTW. That's like one of my favorite things. So, yeah, thank you guys so much, because if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here. Anyway, okay. Yeah, let's move on. So we talked about Sky. We talked about Cole, or Daisy, or Quake, or whoever she is now. Do you guys want to talk about Afterlife then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because, yeah, Afterlife was, first of all, finding the Kree city and then sinking it was very, very interesting. Cool. Losing Trip sucked.
You know, I got all sorts of emotional, again, watching it. I was like, I forgot how this made me feel. And then just waterworks and sadness.
The worst part about it is, theoretically, he died for nothing.
Yeah.
Because Sky was fine. Daisy was fine. Whoever she is fine. And
no, theoretically. He died. If he hadn't kicked the thing, he would have been fine.
Granted, we don't know what else it would have done had it stayed there.
Yeah.
No, they established it because that was the green Terrigen crystals in the diviner.
I thought they were blue.
No, the later one. There's a difference. There are two types.
One is the one that they melted.
Yeah, the ones in the diviner are green, and those are natural ones. The Terrigen mist from that doesn't do anything to humans. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
but it'll transform an inhuman. But when you touch the metal, it's the metal specifically that harms humans. The blue ones are manufactured and have pieces of the metal throughout it.
Yeah.
So he did not have to die. Like, that was 100% pointless.
I still stand by that he just turned into a bunch of dust, and that's his inhuman power.
His inhuman power is that he's actually invisible.
Dust man
and
away!
Maybe those dust particles will come back together at some point.
There is like Dr. Manhattan, whose superpower is turning into dust. I'm going to stay
there. Is there really?
You also said there was an inhuman door.
There is.
And
Eldritch.
That's the saddest, an inhuman
door. Yeah, Eldritch, the door.
Saddest inhuman transformation. That's even more sad than what happened to Reyna.
They were running out of ideas back then.
I will have you know that the X-Men dust is very powerful, and she's very,
I believe it.
She's very good. But I hope Trip is just some dust somewhere.
I don't know. When I watched it, I was like, why did he have to kick it? I mean, I get that he was trying to protect, you know, Sky and even Reyna for, you know, for whatever reason, but
they,
why?
I think for the tonal shift and to create the sense of paranoia and distrust, and as you said, xenophobia, somebody needed to die.
Literal xenophobia.
And so
hashtag Trip Lives is in the chat.
Please, yes, bring him back. It's okay. But something that, you know, Joss Whedon said about kind of regretting bringing Coulson back is that it cheapened death in the Marvel Universe. If you want to elevate the show and create that heightened sense of drama, you do need to kill somebody. But seriously, why'd you have to kill Trip?
I know.
Yeah. Also,
I mean, well, here's who would you rather have lost?
Oh, if it wasn't Trip?
It's a good question.
That's the problem, is everyone is so important and so endearing, you don't want to lose either of them, any of them. And that's why this show is really good, because you don't want anyone to die.
Except for Ward.
I would have been okay with Ward.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, I'm
not... Is that allowed? Are we allowed to pick that?
I'm not rooting for Ward, but I love what he does for the show.
He's the most boring character.
I feel like we're going to definitely need him next season.
I will say that, like, had I had the choice, I probably, at the time, would have picked off one of the newer characters, like Hunter or Bobby or Mac, because I didn't know them as well. Trip, we had known since season 1. So, I get, again, that's the point. He's not a member of our main 4 or 5, but he's been there longer than the new characters that they want to do more things with later on. So he was the good choice, I suppose, but I'm not happy about
logically.
It. Logically speaking, if you step back. But it's still upsetting, because he was a great character.
And not only that, but he has legacy in
The
Shield, so...
Yeah.
That was the hardest part.
I want to clarify to the channel, there's questions about Michael Rafferty is asking, how do they make the crystals?
And, oh, yeah, go ahead.
Jill Lovett is asking, are Terrigen crystals mystical in nature? They are naturally occurring crystals.
Space crystals.
Which then were basically used on genetically modified humans by the Kree.
Yes. The Inhumans are biological weapons that were created by the Kree. They went back and, like, to our ancestors, basically, and put in genetic markers that when you are exposed to the mist, you then have some sort of mutation. And and when that happens, some sort of change happens to you. And originally, it was naturally occurring crystals, but then they ran out or, like, they couldn't find them, and so they had to start making them.
That's what happens in this show.
And that's what happens in this show, is we find out
that
they...
Which is what the blue crystals are.
Yeah,
exactly.
And the natural crystal, if a regular human breathes it in, it's fine. Like, nothing bad happens. But the created ones, if a human breathes it in, you still go into chrysalis form, but instead of coming out and being okay, you just dissolve into nothing.
Yeah. And they remind me a lot of the engineers from Prometheus, only this is way more enjoyable and makes a lot more sense.
Well, it's a popular myth to have like a progenitor race or a progenitor alien. And the Kree aren't necessarily that on Earth, but the Kree are kind of like a warrior society, and they like creating weapons. And so, like, the Inhumans are weapons that they created in case of a war with, like, the Shi'ar or the Skrulls or something like
and
that.
And as we learned when we actually got a Kree this season, which was a huge surprise.
Yeah.
I never thought
we'd see a Kree on the show. Yeah.
Not a live one, anyway. Yeah. It was something that the modern Kree society views that very much as a mistake.
Yes.
Like, going in and playing God with other species, they refer to Inhumans as abominations. So, yeah. All right, let's move right along because we've still got a lot to cover and we've got a lot of season 3 predictions to get going with.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the Dirty Half Dozen because we get a couple characters back together, mainly Fitzsimmons and Ward in 33 because Ward had this crazy arc this entire season from being somebody who is like begging for forgiveness to try to find his place again. And the only thing that matters to him is being redeemed, like, in Skye's eyes, or at least that's what he was telling himself.
Yeah. I buy that, though. I think that really, like, whether or not he didn't really have good intentions overall, but I think he did want to be the man that Skye wanted him to be.
Yeah,
I think for this season it was important for Ward to think he was a good guy. I think that was really important. I think with the way the season ends, I don't think that's necessarily true anymore. But I think during this season, I think Ward was trying to prove that he was a good guy in his eyes more than anyone else's. And I think that's why he started this relationship with 33, is because he was trying to kind of
prove to himself that he was a good guy.
Yeah, redeem her, and by redeeming her, he would redeem himself. Mm-hmm. And that didn't really turn out too well.
No, it didn't. Yeah. But he took a couple surprising turns. He took a couple surprising turns this season. First of all, murdering his entire family.
Yeah.
That was exceedingly dark, especially because the entire time he's just trying to get his older brother to admit that he was the one responsible. And as soon as he does, he's like, okay, I can kill you now.
Yeah.
Everything's great.
Nothing like patricide.
I can move on with my life. But then at the same time, trying to be like this nice guy boyfriend, to 33, you know, being able to get a picture of her, murdering the doctor that helped fix the mask, you know, like any good guy, right? And then
it's all for her.
And then when he gets reunited with his former team, he seems to, again, in his own mind, I don't necessarily think he's good, but in his own mind he's like, this is great, we've got the band back together again, and now that I tell you how sorry I am for trying to kill all of you and giving you brain damage and all that other stuff, we can move on. on and be friends again, right?
Nope.
But even at that time, he was planning on kidnapping Bobby.
Oh, yeah, no.
433.
He's an awful man.
Yeah.
That reminded me of that one scene where he said to Coulson, I'm still on your team. And Coulson's like,
no.
What? You're not on my team.
And it is,
shame on you.
But it is so funny because those seemingly sincere entreaties to other people, those for the audience who don't quite know where to place him yet, who don't know what he's planning, they seem very sincere. And they seem like this is a guy trying to make amends, even though that's not at all his intentions.
No.
Oh, sorry. Do you have any word from the chat?
Oh, no, not at the moment. I mean, there's a lot of conversation about the Inhumans and the crystals and metamorphosis and all that.
Yeah.
I think, go ahead.
If you're interested in seeing an Inhuman arc where they embrace their weapon past, War of Kings is a really interesting arc where they decide to go and create space war, and it's really cool.
So, yeah, I think overall for Ward, the word I kept hearing from the cast was this past season he was confused.
Sure.
Again, not, like, taking away the good or bad, he was confused. Now that we get to the end of season two, he knows exactly where he stands.
Yeah, he is a villain.
He is a villain, and he is content to be so.
And he's got a bunch of meathead Hydra friends.
I'm glad we have a clear-cut idea of what he is now, because there was a time for me in season two where I was like, okay, maybe he can come out of this in a positive light, but I didn't like being in that limbo with his character. So it's good to know that he's going to be exactly what, we're told he's going to be next season.
Yeah. So I wish we had more time to, touch on Jaeyang.
They want us to talk about Simmons.
Yes.
Oh, we have to.
Because Simmons, Simmons in the Dirty Half Dozen tries to keep her promise to murder Ward.
Yeah.
And fails in her attempt and instead kills Bakshi. And instead of killing her, he just kind of goes, I'm disappointed in you, and escapes. Which is, again, for a horrible sociopath like him, probably the best thing he could have done to mess with her.
Yeah.
But it's so funny that she said that, because at one point she was like, the next horrible thing he does is on me, and the next thing he did was kidnap Bobby.
I think Simmons was very very aggressive this season, where as soon as she found out about the Inhumans, she was very anti-Inhuman for a lot of this season. I think until Daisy Skyquake.
I think we found what we're gonna call her.
I think until that last two episodes with Daisy Skyquake, she was like, oh, this is still my friend, this is still the person that I respect. Until then, she was very let's kill them all.
And she didn't have, and even when she found out that Skye was an Inhuman, her resolution to it wasn't to try to help her friend, it was try to fix her. Because there is something horribly wrong with you. And
swallowed by black goo.
Yeah, and let's not forget that at the very beginning of the season, she was undercover with Hydra. Hydra! Going to board meetings with Whitehall and, commenting on PowerPoint presentations.
And then excuse me, what are you saying about Inhumans?
Digging through files and getting a nerding out about Peggy Carter.
I know we were running a little short on time. You want to talk about the black goo? Because that stuff ate her.
Yeah,
Should we move into predictions?
Let's move into predictions, because we are running very short on time.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
I miss the sound.
Yeah. I do, too. I love the light show. So, as we mentioned earlier, guys, spoiler alert, if you don't want to know anything about season three, I guess we'll see you.
Spoiler alert!
I guess we'll see you spoiler next time. Alert. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
But for everybody, let's talk about this black goo stuff, because what happened to her? Twist.
So she got eaten by this pillar.
Monolith.
We can't call it the obelisk.
No.
But I want to.
I think monolith is the weird
word. Yeah, the monolith. The liquid monolith. my first thought is that she sort of becomes one with it.
Yeah.
In a way, she comes out as she's the walking voice of whatever this. If it's an intelligent thing.
Yeah.
According to what we've heard so far, she's going to be gone for the first episode and a half, I suppose, of this season. And Fitz's arc is that he's trying to find out what's happening to her. We get a time skip in between season two and season three.
I believe Elizabeth Henstridge, she was saying that she could, it could be anything. She could be in an alternate universe where she, like, actually kills Beth. Ward.
Beth. Beth and I were talking the
other day. Well, you guys are on a nickname basis.
She's still a series regular.
Yeah.
So we know that she's the actress.
She's
isn't
coming
going
back.
Anywhere.
Obviously, she'll be back for the entirety of the next season in one form or another.
Yeah. Although they, in a recent interview, when, you know, after they started filming, they knew what had happened. And she said, it's so much bigger than I thought it would be. What it is. I thought about and I was like, how would they do that? How would they film that? I just dismissed everything in the realm of this idea. It's very cool. It's very cool. That doesn't explain a whole lot, but like even the actor is really surprised about what's going on.
Poetess is asking, but what is it? all we know is that it is something Kree.
Yeah.
It is something Kree. I have to think it is something to do with what the beginnings of the Inhuman program. Maybe it's weirdly a ship or a door of some kind. Maybe it's Eldrick.
A portal of some kind.
The Inhumans said it was a weapon. Like it was a weapon against them. At least that's what they thought it was.
Could it be a dehumanizer?
It could maybe be a dehumanizer.
They worried that it was something that was meant to cause the extinction of their people.
Yeah.
So that's why we in our minds had it like as a mass weapon of destruction.
So I'm definitely curious to see how it'll affect Gemma.
A lot of people think because it's kind of got this liquid and solid form that it might be a symbiote. Much like,
but we
Venom
can't really touch
or Carnage.
We can.
We can't touch Venom and Carnage specifically.
No,
but we can because Spider-Man's back in the MCU.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Not that they will.
The MCU, yeah.
But they could.
I would
in
like
theory.
To actually see like the actual MCU like cinematic team tackle like Venom and Carnage.
Oh my god!
Because they would do it so much better.
Yes.
Agent Venom is like
the coolest thing in the world.
I want it.
Agent Venom is like one of the best books.
But sound. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no.
I was just gonna say that it sounds like we'll find out in episode 2 that it wasn't something that they wanted to string the audience around in. And supposedly,
awesome. That's so good.
Season 2, according to Bennett, is one of the biggest episodes S.H.I.E.L.D. has ever done. It'll be exciting this season because it's a lot of action, a lot of CGI. It's a lot of what makes S.H.I.E.L.D. so big, but at the same time, the character dynamics have changed.
Yeah.
That's a direct quote from Chloe Bennett.
There's a lot
That's
coming.
So exciting.
I think it could also be tied to Leviathan.
Could be.
And potentially the Zodiac. Which, I've been doing some light reading.
These are my favorite books.
You're going to break the table.
I know. No, I went over, it's like the instant they announced Secret Wars, that hidden tweet went out, I saw it, I drove directly, I was in my car at the time, I drove directly to the comic book shop in Burbank and was just like, I will take the complete collection of Secret Wars. And so I read through it, and The big points, and like Jesse, I know you've read it too.
Yeah.
The big things that stick out to me are Leviathan plays a major role.
Huge
Leviathan
role.
Was revealed in Agent Carter last year, and that would be a great tie-in with
I was gonna say Leviathan is a word I haven't heard in quite some time.
Yeah.
And beyond that, so what they're doing is they are creating like the Zodiac, which is the bigger conspiracy thing around it, is using, there's these pods that create creatures that Leviathan uses.
Yeah.
And so this could, if they could twist that to be tied to the Inhumans.
Yeah, I think they might try and make that Leviathan Inhuman connection where it's like if Leviathan is using Inhuman technology to create their monstrosities, then that might be an easy way to connect everything together.
Well, okay, since you guys mentioned Inhumans, we have a lot of Inhuman stuff to talk about for season 3.
Yeah. I wanted to drop this because the other big thing that I pulled from this is the relationship in this book between Nick Fury and Daisy. As I read it, I tried to, like, at certain points, like, read the panels with, like, Coulson's voice and Skye's voice, Daisy's voice. It works so well. It's not the Sam Jackson Nick Fury that we know. It sounds like Coulson.
Yeah.
The like the caring about her and about everyone around. It sounds like the way they've written Coulson.
So
maybe a little
true to the characters in the show.
It's World War II soldier Nick Fury who is immortal.
Yeah.
Not Sam Jackson Nick Fury.
Yeah. And, but just like
who only fakes his death.
Yeah. The idea that he cares about the people under him in a way that like you don't really Sam Jackson cares, but like.
But he's a soldier. He knows he's going to lose people.
Yeah.
He keeps people at a distance. Even Maria Hill and Coulson, he really
Coulson is like
a
slightly less violent version of this.
Yeah. But he also proactively tries to keep as many people as possible alive.
Exactly. So, yeah, speaking of Inhumans, we have a lot of Inhuman stuff to. And according to our prompter, Coulson is the greatest man I ever knew. I like that. I like that that's a thing now. But anyway, so we have a lot of Inhuman stuff to talk about this season because we've got Mac Daisy? Daisy Skyquake?
Yeah.
and Coulson getting together secret warriors, and they're recruiting people. But we also have a government agency referred to as the ATCU, which is the Advanced Threat Containment Unit, led by Rosalind Price, played by Constance Zimmer, who
a word. Don't they know how this works?
I know, you gotta
shield,
make it spell
sword,
something.
Hammer.
ATCU. Yeah, no, guys, it doesn't work. You guys need somebody to work on that. But so they're a government agency that are basically. That we don't really know what they're about, but it looks like they're trying to stop Inhuman threats.
Sure.
It looks like they're kind of taking the place that Talbot was taking, or that even kind of real S.H.I.E.L.D. was taking. It's like these people are a threat and they need to be dealt with. Who they answer to is a question, I suppose. But we also have, and this was announced at Comic-Con earlier this year, we have an Inhuman threat named Lash.
Yeah, Lash.
Mm. What if ACTU is
or
a
ATCU.
Fake out? Whatever it is.
Whatever
what if it's a fake out for Hammer? Because Hammer, again, size is very big in
Hammer,
Secret Warriors, and that sounds like Hammer.
Yeah, it sounds very
Which
Hammer.
Is so funny because they killed off Victoria Hand so early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be Hammer. It could be, especially leading up to Civil War.
Yeah.
I think having Hammer be a part of the Marvel Universe and, like, establishing that, I wonder if it is, like, much more like superheroes are American. They only know one god, and that god is the American god, and like Thor. I wonder if it's leading to that, and like maybe they answer to Tony Stark. Like maybe that's who they work
and
for.
Maybe.
Oh, that could be our build up, and then we like find it's like this evil organization. That we find out it's being run by
Tony Stark. Yeah.
And then boom, Civil War next episode.
It's so funny because that was kind of the same prediction we had when we were trying to figure out who Mac and Bobby were working for. We're like, maybe they're working for Maria Hill. always blaming Tony for things.
That's true. That actually just reminded me. I want to rewrite history. That was my favorite. I think one of my favorite moments in season two was that moment in the episode right before Ultron, where they're like, I think it's time to call in the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go to the theater and boom, like motorcycles in the snow.
Right there. Yeah. And Strucker and Lister there. Yeah, yeah. No, that was
God,
awesome.
So if you have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on DVD, stop at that episode and
watch
Age
of Ultron,
and then finish the show.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
In Civil War, I don't know the details of this, but Captain America is anti-Index, right?
Yes.
And Coulson he helped develop the Index.
Yes.
Well, Coulson's not directly involved in... He's not in the book.
He's not in the book at all.
Okay.
But Tony Stark is the one who is very pro-Index. Registration.
I was thinking, like, possibly they could write into the show or, you know, make it work somehow that Coulson and his favorite Avenger would have some sort of remote conflict because of it.
There's a lot of that during Civil War. Like, I remember at one point Spider-Man is face-to-face with Captain America, and he's like, all I ever wanted was to, like, be like you.
Yeah.
And then he punches him in the face. that's the whole point of Civil War.
I think that will come between Coulson and Stark.
Yeah.
I think just what we know about Coulson, he's very much like, no.
Like, he'll be caught in the middle.
Yeah.
Well,
they don't need to be.
I think the team will be caught in the middle. Like, it'll be a very interesting it'll be a very interesting dynamic of like how the team is going to get split based off Civil War.
And that's basically what this entire season or the second half of the season has been about. And we've talked about it at length about the need for, in terms of keeping people safe from the legitimate threats out there, and the need to protect personal freedoms. And that's something that we struggle with in real life.
Yeah.
And so I think for Coulson, if we're talking about like future Civil War stuff, yes, the index is important and it's important to use it to keep people safe. But I feel like taking the index and abusing it, and I feel like Tony Stark and or whoever is going to be in power at the time is going to abuse it.
Yeah.
And that's where the problems come in. And that's why anybody who actively participates in creating the index is creating part of the problem.
Well, I mean, that was Winter Soldier. It was eliminating threats before they even became threats.
Exactly.
And it's like, that's...
We're doing a good thing by murdering all these people.
Yeah.
Hail Hydra. But I did mention Lash a little bit ago, and I want to go back to him.
Yeah,
he's going
to
be played by Matthew Willig, and I hope I'm saying that right. And apparently they're kind of tapping into what they did for Reyna for his look. And in the preview, the little snippet teaser that we got for season 3, we see him in silhouette. And according to TV Line, Lash is going to have a fairly strong opinion about what should happen to Inhumans, but he's going to be a force to be reckoned with this season.
It's an interesting choice because I haven't finished reading all of the Inhuman arc where where Lash's main story is. But it's very tied to the royal family, Medusa and Black Bolt and them, who we won't see until the movie comes out, theoretically, down the line. I'm not sure what, I guess he believes like he needs to like bring Inhumans in and like only, it should only be the strong.
Yes.
He's very much like, if an Inhuman is born and they're weak, kill them.
Yeah, or like don't help them basically. And like forcing Inhuman on people. Like he wants to find the strongest Inhuman. So like even if you don't have a say in it at all, he'll just like bomb your entire family with the Terrigen Mist. And like your family will die, and then like you will turn into a
door.
Inhuman. Yeah,
and
you'll
turn
into a door.
How inhumane!
Yes.
You loved it.
I have
it's good to be back, guys.
I have to be honest. In that trailer, when Lash walks out, I laughed and not for a good reason.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and maybe it'll look better in the light, but in the shadow, it looks silly.
It
looks so
like,
silly.
Like, gimmicky.
And the problem
is, looks like bad prosthetics. It looks like...
Go ahead.
Well, it looks like
episode of Face Off.
Yeah, and no, but that's you're spot on.
No, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on Face Off. This looks like a bad Face Off.
Yeah,
it was where Reyna was very subtle. This looked like really big
and
like.
To be fair, they have a lot to work with his character design. There's a lot going on there. He's this big hulking guy, and he's got lots of spikes. And that's why Reyna's look was so good, because she looked so alien, but she looked so good with the contacts and the prosthetic nose and all of the intricate spikes. It was really well done.
Yeah.
So kind of seeing this, like, not even really Predator-like kind of weird
big
Super Saiyan 3 hair in silhouette, it looked odd.
But here's the thing. You gotta give him credit for at least trying to make it look like the comic book character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I really respect that. I hate it when I watch a thing that's based off of a comic book and like,
and
we decided to make it
like...
cool. Like the first X-Men movies, when like, we give them all, like, leather jackets and stuff like that. I was like, no, make them look like the X-Men.
And then
like,
they actually had a line about it. What would you prefer? Yellow spandex?
I mean, in that case, I think seeing Hugh Jackman run around in yellow spandex, it would
funny.
Be awesome.
It would be silly.
Might be a little ridiculous.
So cool.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah. That's the thing that made Guardians of the Galaxy so special is they stayed absolutely true to those characters. They had a talking raccoon and a talking tree.
That's what makes those movies so good, is they can turn something that would be silly in real life and make it work for the show and for that universe as we're looking at
it. And that's something that Marvel on a whole has done very well in terms of its cinematic universe, is just embracing exactly what those characters are.
Which is why I'm so excited to see Superman now that Marvel has him, because I feel like Spider-Man.
Marvel versus DC, blasphemy. Everybody.
Blasphemy. After Buzz TV exclusive. Blasphemy. You guys need to shun me. No, just kidding. Don't shun me. No, but yeah, I'm very excited to see Spider-Man come out in this universe. Like,
I hear you. He's going to be so good. My favorite Marvel character. And I had basically given up on the idea of him ever being in the MCU. Even now, I'm still like, I'll believe it when I see a trailer.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though, like, everything is signed and they're working on it.
And we're reading all this stuff about the new kid. And it's like, everything the director's saying sounds good.
I'll believe it when I see a trailer.
Watching S.H.I.E.L.D., they're going to be like, there's some web-wielding child roaming around in New York City.
Well, it's actually funny because the current animated series that they have, Ultimate Spider-Man, actually does have Clark Gregg voicing Coulson in the show.
So
he's the principal. He's the undercover principal in Peter Parker's school. And it's the greatest thing ever.
So that's pretty perfect. We should probably talk a little bit also about Secret Warriors as a team in terms of who do we think they're going to recruit?
Phobos!
Please, Phobos. Please, Phobos, only so that we can have Ares in the Marvel Universe. Ares and Hercules are like my two favorite characters in the Marvel Universe.
You were like talking about Phobos all last season, and now I get it.
Right?
Now I get
it. He's so cool. And Ares.
He's this little kid, but he looks like a little kid, but he's an ancient god of fear.
Yeah.
And who's the son of war.
He's the son of war.
He's got a sword.
Yeah. He's awesome. I want Phobos. My favorite thing about the characters in Secret Warriors is they're all children of villains for the most part.
Aww.
And so I like that. It's like a Runaways theme, if you're familiar with Marvel books. But it's like these people are specifically recruited because they have something to prove. And, like, for instance, Absorbing Man's son is on the Secret Warriors team. And, like, so seeing that guy, come in, we've already met Absorbing Man, so it'd be kind of cool
and
to tie that together.
And he's potentially still alive, actually, because they delivered him to Talbot. They're like, we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, we could just get Absorbing
you deal with
Man.
Him.
We could just get Absorbing Man back.
Yeah.
I thought the Hellfire plotline is one that's likely to carry over. Maybe not Hellfire himself.
But someone similar.
He's got like a fire chain thing going on, but he falls in love with Daisy, then betrays the team.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible we have that plot line in the form of Lincoln, Lincoln, according to some interviews, is going to be very torn. The way they put it is that Daisy knows exactly where she stands with S.H.I.E.L.D., Lincoln does not, because his world has crumbled, his mentor is went off the deep end and went crazy. Murdered people. Exactly. And so now he's been brought into this team that is responsible for her death, and he doesn't know what to think of it.
Yeah.
So it's possible, and it's clear that he and Sky are, they have a thing.
They got some sparks between them.
Yeah.
I made that joke in my head last time when the season aired.
Yeah. When that episode aired.
I'm going to end up at this table all by myself.
We're a punny bunch.
I'm going to have to accept it. Moving on.
Yeah.
So Lincoln himself, he could definitely have a thing. And we see that he potentially is going to butt heads with Mac, too, because Mac, the reason he's been entrusted with all of this is because he doesn't trust any of it.
Yeah.
He almost quit S.H.I.E.L.D. He handed in his resignation and then changed his mind when he was walking out the door.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Lincoln will be interesting. I honestly, hadn't even really thought about Lincoln.
Yeah.
But him and Mac were promoted to series regulars
this year. That's right, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see.
I'm excited to get some mac and cheese.
Some mac and cheese.
Which I think we said this last year. I don't remember if it was on Twitter or during the show, but somebody pointed out that Coulson, at some point in the comics, is like his nickname is Cheese.
His call sign is
Cheese. So you really do have mac and cheese if they ever do like a buddy mission together.
And didn't he grow up in
Wisconsin?
Yes.
In Milwaukee, right?
Bite on.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Hashtag mac and
Let's
cheese.
Let's do hashtag mac and cheese, just an end. Mac and cheese.
Yeah, mac and cheese.
Yum.
The best buddy show ever.
I would love an episode where they would be a buddy cup team because, again, Mac doesn't necessarily feel animosity towards Coulson, but doesn't trust him as a leader because of the alien DNA, which, by the way, was anybody else really surprised that Coulson wasn't changed when he held on to the Terrigen crystal, that instead it affected him like he was a human, not an inhuman, even though he has Kree DNA in him now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fair point.
I think we made that point.
We did. We did talk about it, and we were like, wait a minute.
Yeah, me too.
To be fair,
it was Kree blood, not inhuman blood.
That's also true.
Yeah, we don't know what a Terrigen crystal would do to a Kree.
We'll never
find out because they cut the arm off.
The
arm is the main antagonist of this next season. It's Coulson's
arm. It's like Evil Dead,
Well, I mean like a full Kree. Yeah. Like if a Kree picked up the obelisk or a Terrigen crystal.
And what we don't know is if it would have killed him, because remember, Sky was encompassed in it as well and then broke out. So did Reyna. So it's entirely possible that the same thing would have happened to him.
He could have been cocooned.
But Mac cut off his arm before we had the chance to see what it was going to do to him.
What are we thinking he's going to have for an arm?
Robot hand
that's like covered in a glove all the time.
We're going full robot hand.
Like a
skin graft
Return
glove.
Of the Jedi, yeah.
Okay, skin graft glove? Like
it'll look like a real hand.
Gotcha.
Until it doesn't and a rocket pops out.
It looks really inconspicuous, and then all of a sudden, like, it turns into a cannon, like Mega Man.
I'm going to say it's just a...
he'll be like Deathlok's sidekick.
And then they go on missions together.
I'm just going to say ice cream sundae. It's just one giant ice cream sundae.
I'm trying to think, like, what...
It dispenses soft service.
What would Coulson keep in like a spare arm pocket?
Yeah.
Lola's tools.
Yeah. Probably Captain America trading cards.
Whatever it is, it has to be vintage.
Yeah,
it has
gotta
to
be vintage.
Spare lanyard. The Phoenix will make sure there's a spare lanyard.
There already is a character in the
Marvel
Universe.
Laser cutter.
That has a metal arm, and we'll be introduced to her in the Netflix series when we meet the heroes for hire. Because she's kind of like their contact. What is her name? It is failing me right now. It's not Daisy, but I want to say Daisy.
just because we've been talking about Daisy all night.
She's a really cool character. She's got a big afro. She was Danny Rand, Iron Fist's love interest for a long time.
But you bring up a good point.
Twitter is yelling at me.
You bring up a good point in mentioning the other shows, because the other shows we have coming up are actually Hunter and Bobby in Marvel's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones, obviously. Luke Cage, Agent Carter
Season 2,
Daredevil Season 2. All three of those are going to be in 2016.
Yeah.
But again, the most surprising thing is Marvel's Most Wanted, because a pilot was ordered. That went back and forth last season, because at first they were like, we're doing a show about Bobby and Hunter. And we were all like, we said we would watch it, but what?
But they were at the time, it was going to take Agent Carter's spot on the schedule. Yeah. And we were like,
And we were like, I'd love to see more of these two, because they have a great dynamic and a great story, but not at the expense of Agent Carter.
I'm worried about them stretching the brand.
Much can they really talk about them?
I agree with Jesse. Yeah. I'm worried about them stretching, especially Marvel has like a deep story pocket that they can go into.
Yeah.
I will be honest, I haven't even watched Daredevil yet. Yeah. I know that's terrible. I know, right?
Go home
and
now.
Watch Daredevil.
No,
it is literally the next thing on my list.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a like center point. Yeah. I don't know how much you can do with it, because in my mind, Agent Carter is sort of a semi spinoff.
Yeah.
And this is like, I don't know what. My problem is, I rewatch the season knowing that they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't see it. I love those characters. They are great characters. Bobby's one of my favorite new characters this season.
Yeah.
No, she has to be my favorite new character this season. Hunter is up there. But I don't need a whole show about them.
The show in my mind is like an HBO show where they're like a Wetworks team and it's like super violent and like super dark and like them like going and assassinating like probable like or like things that would happen in the Marvel universe.
Just Bobby and Hunter fighting and
other activities.
Didn't they say it wasn't going to be about their romance? I feel like that would be the only solely. No, like it wouldn't be like a soap opera, essentially.
Like, I almost prefer that. Like that'd be so different. It would be interesting. That's my main concern. If this is gonna be Marvel's Most Wanted, sounds like SHIELD B.
Yeah.
So why are we doing it separate? Just do it in SHIELD.
Because the thing is, like, in the comic books, Bobby and Clint are Hawkeye are married,
and as we know from Ultron, he has a secret family.
Yeah, he has a secret family, and like in the Marvel like comic book universe, it works to have them being like this Wetworks team going and like taking care of like possible threats and stuff like that. But I don't know if it works the same with Hunter. And like, if it's an ABC show, like I feel like it's gonna be just basically SHIELD light.
Well, yeah. Like I said, since we were spitballing about it before it was ever announced, I think we deserve a credit.
I think we do.
I think we deserve a story consultant credit.
Yeah.
And very small text in the end.
Tiny little asterisk.
Yeah.
But I said way back when we were just spitballing and saying how much we adored these characters, I would love a spy versus spy romance. How they're infatuated with each other but constantly on opposing sides.
Kind of like Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Exactly. Only better. Better like and with superheroes. I didn't say I hate it, but I'm saying that it'd be better. And but again, it's I feel like something like that, what I in my mind have in like
yeah.
What I in my mind picture that as is just something that's self-contained. I don't picture it being an expansion of this story. And I feel like if it's going to be an expansion of this story, it should just be in SHIELD.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I agree.
Yeah.
The other show that is on the docket, and we don't even know what it is, but the secret ABC project by John
Mayer.
No, the guy who
just
wrote
singing about things.
The guy who wrote 12 Years a Slave, and then American Crime.
John Mayer.
A lot of people back when they initially announced it were speculating that it was Miss Marvel.
I hope it isn't, because there's no way you can do that before Captain Marvel. In my mind, well, it's not satisfying.
Physically, you can't do it because she looks up to Captain Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. But unless they twist the story and then just like don't call her, it's just Kamala Khan, and I don't want that to happen. I like her superhero fandom. Looking up to Captain Marvel as a storyline of its own.
That's one of the things that makes her so endearing as a character and relatable.
Is that she's a fangirl.
But a guy who's written for Muslim American characters and has written for so many minorities, it's just like, it sounds like that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
So basically, in the future, we have a lot to look forward to, a lot still to speculate on, and a lot to watch.
It's a good time to be a fan of Marvel.
It is a very good time.
It is. We should probably wrap it up. We're running, obviously, we ran really long, but I feel good about what we talked about, everybody. Do you guys have any more comments about what you liked about season 2 or about season 3 predictions?
I still wish that May and her ex were together.
They went on vacation together, actually. Yeah. When May went on vacation, she went with Andrew.
Yeah, and Blair Underwood, I think, is going to be in this season.
Oh. Yeah, and where we pick up with season 3, she's still on vacation.
Okay.
She's not, much like Simmons, she's not going away from the show. She's still very important.
Yeah.
But where we pick up, she's still on vacation.
Watching season 2. I couldn't finish it, so I didn't remember that at all. And I remember, the only thing I do remember was him saying that there's a picture on the desk and that's why I've moved on. And I was like, no, it can't be.
I'm going to say as a prediction, we can start looking into more references to the expanded Marvel world, like just a reference to Daredevil, a reference to Wilson Fisk, reference to Alias,
Reference to the Purple Man. Daisy went to the same orphanage.
Yeah,
I think exactly. We're going to see this season, you're going to get a bunch of recognizable people.
It makes sense now.
Especially like, again, they said Secret Warriors. This part worries me a little bit. They said Secret Wars is going to be a slow burn. We're not going to get there right away. But as long as we're dealing with something crazy with the monolith,
I'm okay with it.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, and it sounds like episode 2 is going to be explosive. So, like, and they also said that Hydra is a little bit of a slower burn, too. It doesn't play as prominent as a role, which makes sense because Grant Ward is trying to build it up.
Yeah.
It is in ruins at this point.
Yeah.
The Avengers kind of blew it to hell.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we're going to get a bunch of characters that are just going to pop up and we're going to explain their powers via the fish oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Awesome.
Great. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in to hear us gab on about season 2 and speculate wildly about season 3. We will be back next week on Tuesday at taping at 10 o'clock, I believe, right?
Yes. Normal time, same time as last season. Episode airs at 9 Pacific Standard Time, and then we watch it. We'll be taping. You can watch us at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Exactly, and we live stream every week. Please participate in the live chat because we love hearing from you guys. Yeah. Use the hashtag.
Yeah, seriously.
And feel free to use hashtag to get in contact with us for the rest of the week because we're just as excited as you guys. Jesse Klein, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
You guys can find me on Twitter at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. Whole bunch of other shows coming back this fall, including Muppets. Grimm comes back soon. There's a bunch more.
We're doing
Doctor Who tomorrow night. Doctor Who is here tomorrow night.
We're doing AKA Jessica Jones.
Yeah, right in the fall.
Yeah.
Nice. Excited.
Well, you guys can catch me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at JAJOURI. That's JAJOURI. And I'll be here for Shameless and The Walking Dead when they start. So
nice.
That would be awesome. Fun. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including Fear the Walking Dead on Sundays. And actually, on Tuesday night, be sure to catch us on the Movie Chick News Show. So be sure to tune in for that every week. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you all on Tuesday.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.